What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about how to call on the name of the Lord. This will be rather instructional. Hopefully, there will be some people here that wonder just exactly how someone can become a Christian. That's really what this podcast is about. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I eschew this topic a lot because we focus so much, I think, on what we must do to be saved that we neglect what we must know. Now, for this podcast, I'm going to assume that we know the proper things. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is currently sitting on the throne of David. Jesus died. He spent 3 days in the ground. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. This sacrifice is what facilitated the forgiveness of sin from the beginning of time to the end of time. And we want to partake of that sacrifice. We want to be washed in that blood. Is it Revelation chapter 1 verse 5? Or is it Revelation chapter 1 verse 3? Ain't that embarrassing? I'm just going to turn to it. But we are washed from our sins in his blood. Let me give you the proper book, chapter, and verse for that. I think it's 5, not 3, though. Yeah, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. So I'm assuming we know all of that. Hello, Robert Leedy. Hello, Angie B. Good to see you. Angie from Tyler, Texas. Angie, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but for the last 10 or more years, I've had a love affair, maybe 15 years. I've had a love affair with the breed Catahoula Leopard Dog, and the very first Catahoula Leopard Dog I ever owned was from Tyler, Texas, and I can't even tell you the name of the man I bought her from. But anyway, pretty cool. Deborah O'Neill, good to see you. Good to see everybody. So, my point I'm trying to make is this. Today, we are going to talk about what must I do to be saved. If you go all the way back to Acts chapter 2, the first time the gospel was ever preached, and the gospels ever obeyed, Peter quotes from Joel chapter 2. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. And I think we need to kind of break that down even before we get into scripture. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Well, what does it mean to call on the name of anything? If I'm 9 years old and I go out to my siblings who are various and sundry ages, older and younger than me, and I say, "Hey, mama said, come in the house." Now, they've got two choices. They can believe that I'm speaking with the authority of mama, and they can do what I said by the authority of mama, or they can say, "You're not speaking with the authority of mama," and they will continue to stay outside. But we understand this intuitively. If I'm actually speaking with the authority of mama, then it is as if mama is telling them, come inside. I am speaking in the name of mama. In other words, by her authority. I do not have to invoke orally mama. Okay? In other words, I don't have to come and say, "Hey, mama said, come inside." I can say, "Listen, I was told to come out here and tell you to come inside." They know then that I'm not speaking of my own authority. It may be that I come outside and get them and I say, "Hey, brothers and sisters, it's time to come in the house." And because I'm 9, they intuit that I would never come outside and try to tell them what to do because they would string me up from a tree branch. So they just know it's by implication I'm speaking in the name of mama by her authority. Well, calling on the name of the Lord is calling upon the Lord's authority. And that could, it's really in the context of scripture. Everywhere it's mentioned, calling on the name of the Lord, it's calling on the name of the Lord in order to be in a right relationship with him. It's basically for salvation, especially in the New Testament. I think Romans 10:17, all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have to be saved by the authority of the one who is in charge. Who is in charge? That's the Lord. Who is in charge? Well, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Listen to this. All power, the word is not dunamai, which is like power, like energy. It's power as in exousia, which is it's authority. It's the power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases. Physical or mental power, the power of authority, that's influence, and of right, that's privilege. The power or rule of government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others. Folks, Jesus is in power. He's in authority. And there is none other authority, no other name, whereby one can do anything and be right with God. So do you want to be oriented towards the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? In other words, do you want to have a face-to-face relationship? And I don't mean face-to-face as in proximity. I mean you are oriented toward the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It has to be by the exousia, the power or authority of Jesus Christ. That's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter can say there's none other name whereby man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I'm not baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit for the remission of sins. I'm baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. In other words, I call on the name of Jesus in order to be in a right relationship with God, in order to have my sins remitted, and I am oriented, according to what we learn in Matthew 28:18-20, I am oriented toward the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my becoming a disciple through baptism orients me rightly. It changes my orientation. All right? And I love the way that the American Standard 1901 renders this. Listen to it. And I love your comments. I'm going to get to your comments. It's good to see everybody. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I like the way the ASV 1901 renders that a little better than I do my beloved King James, because it puts that into, it's the implication there, that when we call on the name of the Lord, we are oriented towards the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're oriented then toward our goal. We are living rightly at that point. And good afternoon, Holly Hamilton, Jason Goldtrap from Haines City, Florida, and Angie B. Yes, in fact, Maslow, my dog now, is a cross between a full-blooded Catahoula female and a full-blooded Airedale Terrier male. He is a very interesting dog, very interesting personality. He has all the grit and all of the aloofness and all of the intelligence that a Catahoula has, And he has this weird, kooky personality, I think, that comes from an Airedale Terrier. He's just an interesting dog. I really love him. He's a pain in the neck, though. Anyway, good to see everybody. I hope I said hi to Deborah O'Neill and Robert Leedy and Angie B. I'm sure I did. Well, I know I said hi to Angie B. Anyway, now, I think we've spent 10 minutes here laying the groundwork. Before we go any further, I would like to remind you that www.beamindfulsoul.com sponsors our podcast. You know, if you would like to discover the tranquility and peace in the midst of life's turmoil, please check out Be a Mindful Soul. Whether you're seeking a compassionate ear or expert guidance, you can find the support that you need at www.beamindfulsoul.com. Navigate therapeutic solutions, mental health services, and more. Your journey to tranquility and peace begins with www.beamindfulsoul.com. Thank you so much, and I hope that you all go and check out LaBeth's services that she has to offer over there. Now, talking about calling on the name of the Lord, I have where I diagrammed a sentence. I think I'm going to go ahead and put it up now. It's in the form of an overlay, so you're not going to be able to see me or the chat. Oops, there it is. But notice, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, if you're watching this live or archived on video, you'll be able to see this. It looks like, if you've never diagrammed sentences, I would highly suggest that you watch some YouTube videos about it, that you educate yourself in this manner, and you be able to do to be at least a beginner entry-level skill in doing this. It's really neat, and you don't have to be able to diagram any sentence that comes along, but if you study sentence diagramming just a little bit, it will help you see the scriptures differently, because the rules of grammar are ubiquitous to all language. And this Acts 22:16 diagrams the same in English as it does in Greek, as it does in Spanish or French. It doesn't matter, okay? So, if I want to know how to call on the name of the Lord, is calling on the name of the Lord just saying, Jesus, please save me? Is calling on the name of the Lord the sinner's prayer where I say, Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul? Well, God forbid. Go look at what Paul did, or Saul, I guess I should say. And why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, the first sentence in that verse, Acts 22:16, and why tarriest thou? Now, that's diagrammed on the meme. It's there, but we don't need it, because we know that Ananias, the soul saver, the one whom Jesus sent to Paul whenever he was praying on Straight Street in Damascus, he was to show him or tell him what he must do. So Paul had been praying for 3 days. Why are you waiting? Don't you think in those 3 days he had appealed to the Savior? Don't you think in those 3 days he had appealed to God for salvation through his scripturally designated and manifest Messiah? Folks, if anybody had ever said something akin to the sinner's prayer, it would have been Saul in 3 days of praying. But it did him no good, because Ananias said, what are you waiting on? Now, notice on the diagram, there's a word you in parentheses. The word you is not found in the text, right? But that's an understood. So what is the subject of the sentence, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Well, it's an understood you. That's like if your child, if little Sally is playing in her room and you come to little Sally and you say, clean up this room. Well, that's a command. It's an imperative. And the subject is the understood you. In other words, it's little Sally. So little Sally is responsible for cleaning up her room. Robert Leedy says, Jesus himself said it's not a literal call. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Robert, that's just, yeah, that's way too simple for folks to understand, I think. You can't see my face. I'm grinning. I'm being sarcastic, or well, not sarcastic. I'm being facetious. That is so simple, isn't it? All right. It's very simple. If you just orally invoke Jesus, then that's not going to help you. And incidentally, in Robert's verse that he cites, 7:21, in the context, the people who say unto me, Lord, Lord, they have also done many wonderful works. They had the ability to do miracles. And just orally invoking the name of Jesus is not enough to get it. And I put forth to you, you know, we're going to be talking about baptism. I put forth to you that you can be dunked seven times a day, and you not be any better off than if you'd lived in the Sahara Desert and never even seen a pool of water big enough into which you would be dunked. It's all an involvement of the heart. We have to come to God believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that is acting in faith. And it is through that faith we have access to the grace. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. This baptism, incidentally, that's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And this baptism is an operation of God. That's Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. All right? Incidentally, baptism is the only thing you're responsible for doing that you have to find somebody else to do it to you. Something to think about. Jason Goldtrap says, is this going to be on the test? If we were to have a test, this would be on it, because it's that important. I know you're just picking at me, but it's that important. If we were to have a test, this would definitely be on it. All right. So let's notice then the understood you. So who is it then that is to arise and be baptized and wash away sins? Well, that would be in the context Saul. All right, and I'm going to leave this up here so we can see it. So it is the person to whom Ananias is speaking. That would be Saul or Paul. You'll hear me use that interchangeably. So what are you waiting for? That means that now is the acceptable time. When you realize it needs to be done, you need to go ahead and do it. You don't need to wait for a quote-unquote baptismal Sunday. You don't need to wait for a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, or you don't need to wait for your mama to come or your, just do it. Take care of it. I've often said, and I'll stick by this, if somebody comes to me and they want to be baptized and they want to schedule that baptism for a few days away, I'm going to say that they probably are not convicted the way somebody needs to be convicted. Now, does that mean that their baptism is not valid? Listen, the judge of all the earth is going to do right. That's not up to me. That's above my pay grade. But I will stand behind this. If you think that your baptism is something that you can wait on, then it may be the case that you're not understanding fully what you're getting into. But anyway, that's for another podcast. All right. So Ananias was told Paul, arise. So you got to get up. You got to take action. Folks, the action is incumbent upon you. If you never take action, then you will never be saved. If Paul never took action, he would only have had his Damascus Road experience, which leaves him blind and scared. You got it? We have to, and I hear my denominational friends all the time, well, you got to have your Damascus Road experience for salvation. Listen, if all you have is a Damascus Road experience, and I didn't come up with this, somebody else did. I stole it because I thought it sounded clever. If you don't ever have your Damascus Road experience, then you're just blind and scared. If that's all you ever have is your Damascus Road experience, then you're blind and scared. I don't want to be blind and scared. I want to be renewed. I want to be I want to have the sight restored. I want to be able to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I want to talk about the sweet, sweet sound of that amazing grace. So therefore, I have to take action. It's not like the Calvinists say, where you can do no more to contribute to your salvation than a man who is buried 6 feet in the ground can contribute to his resurrection. All right? That sounds really good on the surface, but it falls to scrutiny. So you have to get up. You have to take action. Then you have to submit. You have to understand that you're not doing this yourself. You're obeying the instructions from God. And you have to submit to someone lowering you down in water and bringing you back up. I have an illustration that I use, and I'm gonna remove this for a moment so you can see me tell this story. Whenever I was a child, a little bitty child, think about real long, cottony blonde hair, all that good stuff. I think it was my cousin Ty Ragsdale. Well, I shouldn't have said his name like that. Anyway, it was my cousin, and he was about the same age, cottony blonde hair. We were just little kids. I mean, we were young enough to run around in our skivvies. And it had rained. We wanted to go outside. So we said that we were told you can go outside, but you can't get wet. Well, guess what? When you walk through grass after it's rained, you're wet. So we're wet. So we're wet a little bit. We're going to get in the same trouble if we're wet a little bit as if we're wet a lot. So we found every little mud hole, every little low spot between two hills, and we wallered in the mud. We had mud fights. We mud wrestled. We came back, and we looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger hiding from the predator, like covered completely in mud from head to foot. Our hair was just matted in mud, all right? And I just opened the door and walked in, and then we got hollered at, and you get out there and y'all clean that mud off yourselves. Now, we were told in order to come in the house, we had to go back outside and clean the mud off of ourselves. Well, how in the world were we supposed to clean mud off of ourselves? I couldn't clean the mud off me. I couldn't see me. Ty couldn't clean the mud off him. He couldn't see him. So we devised, because we were brilliant for, 6-year-olds, we devised this brilliant plan where he would take the water hose and spray me down, and then I would in turn take the water hose and spray him down, and we would then be clean. Notice, my mother gave us a task that was impossible for us to do on our own. We still were responsible for doing it. So I had to submit to him washing me, and he had to submit to me washing him. Let me get to the comments here. Yeah, it's, I know a man who was baptized at 3 a.m. Absolutely. Incidentally, y'all evaded the predator that day unknowingly, being the aliens are amongst us. Yes, we did. The predator was out there using his infrared vision, and because we were covered in mud from head to toe, our body heat was insulated and he couldn't see us. So anyway, you understand the point. Now, I'm gonna put the diagram back up on the screen, and you'll notice arise and wash, okay? Arise and wash are active. In other words, Paul was supposed to wash and arise, but be baptized is passive. Now, Paul, Ananias, this could have gone this way. Ananias could have said, and why are you waiting? Or why tarriest thou? Arise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Paul may have said, listen, I understand those words, but I don't know how to wash away my sins. Oh, you must be baptized. That is a perfectly viable conversation to be had, that could have happened, rather. It's just the way he chose to say it is so much more succinct. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Wash away thy sins is what is known as epexegetical, and it explains the be baptized. All right? It informs or explains the be baptized. Well, what's happening during the baptism? Well, you're washing away your sins. So you're responsible for washing away your sins. Okay, yes. All right, since you're responsible for washing away your sins, then the only way you can do that is to submit and allow someone to baptize you. Colossians 2:11-12. Please read that. Ben, if you're not doing anything, could you copy and paste that into the comment section? We've mentioned it earlier, but it might as well be here for folks to read after the fact. Remember, this baptism is not something you do. It's something that's done to you, and it's not an operation of the person baptizing you. It is the operation of God. That is so very important. We're not preaching or teaching a works salvation. We are preaching a calling on the name of the Lord salvation, and we are preaching that by virtue of what we see here, if I want to call on the name of the Lord, I am responsible for taking action and for washing away my sins, and the only way I can do that is to be baptized. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature with the circumcision performed by Christ and not by human hands. And having been buried with him in baptism, you were raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And that's a perfectly fine translation, but notice it's your faith in the operation of God. Like you're having someone baptize you, and that is showing your faith in the operation of God. The implication there is God is operated, and the operation of God happens during the baptism. In fact, you can go to Acts chapter 26, verse 20, and Paul talked about what he taught. Repent, turn toward God, and bring forth fruit meet for repentance. The turning toward God, that's the orienting yourself towards God. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. The American Standard 1901. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, so on and so forth. My point is, this all works together. Whenever we get up and take action, whenever we wash away our sins by being baptized, we are turning towards God. We are orienting ourselves towards God. But who does the turning? It's God. God does that because he washes away your sin. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, we're washed from our sins in his own blood. Now, where in the world is calling on the name of the Lord come into the picture? We've been 28 minutes, and I've never actually just straight out of the front of my mouth with no mitigation or explanation answered the question, how do we call on the name of the Lord? Here's the answer. How do we call on the name of the Lord? By taking action and washing away our sins by being baptized. You see, calling on the name of the Lord is a participle phrase. And it is a participle phrase that modifies these verbs. It tells us instrumentally, all right? It informs instrumentally calling on the name of the Lord. How do we do it? How do we call on the name of the Lord? What is instrumental in calling on the name of the Lord? If you don't take action, if you don't wash away your sins by being baptized, you haven't called on the name of the Lord. That's period. Now, what about believing? Why is believing not in there? because the implication is you already believe. You're not going to call on the name of the Lord unless you believe. All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. All right? This is very important. You're not going to call on the name of the Lord unless you already believe. Bear with me. This is my trusty rusty e-sword. Right here. I said Romans 10:17 earlier. It's Romans 10:13. Let me repeat that. 10:13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So belief cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, did they not hear? Yea, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? So this is in the context, Paul talking about something else, but we can lift it out of its context to learn the lesson that you're not going to call on the name of the Lord if you have not first heard of Jesus and you have not believed that Jesus is who he said he is while he was on earth. And he continues to be that person today. And if you believe that, then you have to call on him. That's the idea. And here's with the eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was taught from where he was, from where he was at, and taught him Jesus. Then immediately, what did the man want to do? Well, here's water. What's preventing me from being immersed? He was taught Jesus and saw an immediate need to be immersed. God added to the church those that obeyed what they were told in Acts chapter 2. Absolutely. So, the point. What is the point with all this? There is no debate, I think, to be had that calling on the name of the Lord equals salvation. How do you call on the name of the Lord? Okay? Do I call on the name of the Lord by saying, Dear Jesus, I accept you into my heart? Or do I call on the name of the Lord by taking action, submitting to be baptized, washing away my sins? Folks, calling on the name of the Lord is a participle phrase that acts as an adverb that informs the why of the three verbs. You, Saul, call on the name of the Lord. Well, I don't know how to call on the name of the Lord under the new covenant. You've got to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. This is exactly parallel with what the people were told on the day of Pentecost. Peter quoted from Joel chapter 2. Let me get this off. I think we had this up enough. They were told in Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted Joel chapter 2. All those that call on the name of the Lord to be saved, there's deliverance for those who call on the name of the Lord. All right. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They were not asking what must we do to be saved, because they knew that calling on the name of the Lord would get them salvation. They wanted to know how to call on the name of the Lord. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we can have a debate about what the gift of the Holy Ghost is, but calling on the name of the Lord for sure gets your sins remitted. So you've got to repent. Now, again, well, Tony, in Acts 22:16, repenting is not there. Paul had already repented. That's the thing. The point where Paul was, he had believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and he had changed his mind about what he was doing. That's repentance. Now he needs to turn to God. That is calling on the name of the Lord. There's no sinner's prayer that's going to save you. There's no being voted in to a church that's going to save you. There's no denominational creed that's going to save you. Baptism alone doesn't save you, any more than faith alone saves you. Any more than repentance alone saves you. Calling on the name of the Lord. Take action. Be baptized. Wash away thy sins. You already believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've already repented of your sinful lifestyle. Now you got to do something about it. Take action. Be baptized. Wash away your sins. That's calling on the name of the Lord. I don't understand why this is so difficult, and I don't understand why when I teach this, I'm accused of being of teaching a works salvation. Go back to Colossians 2:12. The baptism is your faith in the operation of God that raised Jesus from the dead. If you think that your works is what save you, you can do the same thing that Saul did here and not receive salvation because you think it's your works. And that's it. That's calling on the name of the Lord. I think we had a good podcast. I think we had good questions and comments. I really appreciate that. And for those of you that are watching on Christianity Now streams, thank you so very much. For those of you that are watching on Facebook, I would absolutely love to have you come over to Christianity Now streams and interact with the content there, share the content from there to your Facebook pages and social media. Hello, Sheila Cole. It's good to see you. Thank you for tuning in. And listen, call on the name of the Lord. That's it. Don't get drug off into the weeds debating all these different methods of salvation. It's calling on the name of the Lord, and now we got to have a conversation about what calling on the name of the Lord is. Calling on the name of the Lord, you've already repented, you've already heard about Jesus and know that Jesus is the Son of God, so now you got to do what Saul did, do what Paul did. Take action, be baptized, wash away sins. That's calling on the name of the Lord. I don't see why people get tore up about it. Repentance is the real work. It's a continual work. That's it. That's an interesting point you make there, Ben, because all these people that teach faith alone, they would never, ever say that you didn't have to repent in order to be saved. But me being baptized, like I said, that's something that someone else does to me. I have to repent, and I have to keep my mind changed about my sin on a daily basis because I am always tempted to go back under that sin. And let me read your comment. Repentance is the real work, a continual work. Faith is a work. Baptism, I really don't understand how it's called a work other than it is from God. I can't come up with a way to save myself. Baptism comes from God, from His Word. It's simple submission, submitting to someone immersing you in water for the remission of sins. God adds you to the one body, does the spiritual circumcision, applies the blood. Where's the blood? It's in the body. So if you want to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have to be added to the body of Jesus Christ. Again, that simple. It's that simple. And I will tell you this. Uh-oh, I forgot what I was going to tell you. Let me read this comment again. Repentance is the real work. Continual work. Faith is work. Baptism, I really don't understand how it's called a work other than it is from God. I really cannot. Oh, yes. Don't let somebody say, and don't concede any ground when they say, well, look, you know, hey, Church of Christer, you water dog, you can't say anything because I was baptized. Now, look, we have talked about what must I do to be saved, and we haven't talked any about what must I know. Romans 6:17-18 is pretty clear. There's some things you have to know. If you don't know those things, your baptism is not valid. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You have to obey from the heart. Obeying from the heart is obeying with the proper understanding and with sincerity. That's all I'm going to say. If you didn't know what you were doing when you did it, you didn't do it, regardless of what you did. So maybe we have another podcast at a later date on what I must know. But don't forsake what we must know. Or don't forsake what we must do. Let's be balanced in our teaching. Let's teach what we must know and what we must do. And I teach a whole lot on what we must know. And I don't teach as much on what we must do. So this was a podcast about what we must do. And if you want to be saved, you got to call on the name of the Lord. And the way to call on the name of the Lord is to take action, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Thank you so much. Remember to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com to avail yourselves of all the services that LaBeth has to offer. Consider supporting us with a one-time monetary donation of $5. If you give a one-time monetary donation of $5, you will forever be on our mailing list. And every piece of content that we produce for our viewers, our supporters exclusively, you will be able to see, even if you've only ever given $5 one time. If you go to Patreon, you can become a patron for a $1 subscription or as high as whatever you want, and you'll be on our mailing list, but only so far as you continue that patronage. But www.buymeacoffee and www.patreon.com, both buymeacoffee and patreon.com, and then you have / Christianity Now. The QR code for Buy Me a Coffee is on the screen, but you can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity Now or www.buymeacoffee/Christianity Now. And that's it. People get confused thinking they are saved because they were baptized on a denominational baptism Sunday. Yeah, that gets into that obeying from the heart, doesn't it? All right, that's all I've got here. God bless every one of you. Please share this. Share this with anybody you think might need it, and help us drive up subscribers on YouTube. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer, and we will catch you on the flip side.